There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Doctor's log, hell date 2020. It's 7 a.m. I just ended my shift in the emergency room and now I am headed out. I grew up watching Star Trek reruns as a kid, and in the intro to Star Trek, they have this description of their mission, which is to go where no man has gone before. Right now, health and medical industries are on that kind of mission, and it really feels like my colleagues and I are embarking on this new journey as we stand on the front lines of the COVID crisis. We keep saying to each other, we've never done this before. We've never seen anything like this on this scale before. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. So I'm starting my own captain's log. I'll be documenting my personal experiences and thoughts as this pandemic unfolds around us. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my doctor's log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
Herbie, we got ourselves one of our favorite people. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
For years, I felt that Jerry Krause was a great shield for Jerry Reinsdorf. And I thought that this documentary made it, Krause was the easy target. And I feel like after watching this, that Jerry Reinsdorf comes out not looking the best. Because it's almost as like he's sitting here going, oh, well, there was nothing that could be done. And you're like, you could have easily just said to Jerry Krause, cut it out. Like, we don't need to be saying any of that stuff publicly. You could have gone to Phil Jackson and said, you're my coach till the point when you don't want to be the coach. I don't care what Jerry says. Same thing with Jordan. You will play here for as long as you want to play here. Is there any room for there to be any other interpretation of how Jerry Reinsdorf comes off in this documentary?
Make me a bicycle clown!
Thank you so much for listening. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. We have got a bang-up show for you today. Joe Ostrowski is going to join me at 1:20. Joe's our betting expert, our sports gambling expert. And there's a lot of money that was moving around this past weekend with the Skins tournament going on and the Bundesliga being back and NASCAR being back. So we're going to talk with Joe about how to be smart about things that you don't know about when you're betting because you got an itch to bet. Jim Ozarski of the Journal Sentinel is going to join me at 1 o'clock to talk about Aaron Rodgers. They got an opportunity to talk with the quarterback of the Packers, so we're going to discuss what that means and how he's dealing with the way that the roster has changed. But all of that pales in comparison to who we bring on to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline right now. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to check out in Melrose Park. Jason Goff does an incredible job hosting Bulls Pre and Post. And if you have not checked out the work that he's doing on the Bulls Talk podcast for NBC Sports Chicago. You are missing out because he is getting some incredible stories out of Kendall Gill, and they are having phenomenal discussions about everything surrounding The Last Dance. So I thought that I would bring Jason onto the show so that we could talk about it. And now he joins me here on The Score. What's up, Jay?
What's happening, my brother? How you feeling? This is a beautiful day in a great city that we can't walk around in.
No, not today. It's not a little today. Too windy to be walking around there right now. I'm just happy that everything's cool with the basement.
Yeah.
And I was lucky. I'm one of the lucky ones that the water didn't get in. But I feel like we don't need any more water.
Man, it was a deluge, to say the least.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, I'm one of the weirdos that enjoys it when it rains. So it always feels like new start, like fresh newness. And, you know, people need some of that. So wipe away the old, bring some rain through. Everything's starting to sprout. We're feeling a little bit better as we try to figure out what this normal has to be going forward. And that's a daily kind of revelation. But, you know, so every once in a while, certain things happen for you and you go, okay, it ain't as bad as it was yesterday. It'll probably be a little bit better tomorrow, hopefully. And that's the vibe that I'm feeling right now. And, of course, we wrapped up the event that had everybody hanging out together and watching and on favorite sports bar, which is Twitter and social media and Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. So now that that's over, we can like parcel through all the things that we went through while watching it, while removing some of the emotion, because there's obviously a lot to rake over.
Well, it's one of the things that I wanted to talk with you about. And the reason why is I feel like you've done such a great job facilitating conversation on the Bulls Talk podcast. And I was like, you know, I'm going to get Jay on so he can say what he wants to say about all of this stuff.
Oh,
instead,
so you're
of
you trying to get me canceled is what you're trying to do.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you're a combo guard that's primarily been playing point on the Bulls Talk podcast, but we all know that you can score.
I've been making sure that everybody's thoughts are getting out there, you know, making sure that the guys, you know, are telling me what they would tell me if they didn't think everyone was listening. Put it like that.
Man,
like
you did that with KG, man. He has been giving up a lot of great stories on that pod for sure.
Hey, man, Kendall Gill, let me say this. Not just because I work with him now, but you talk about careers and people that have come from this city or this area. Kendall Gill, we talk a lot about dudes, man. You know, the Mark Aguirres of the world, the Quinn Buckners of the world, Isaiah Thomas, Anthony Davis, Derrick Rose. You know, do your Googles and look up what Kendall Gill was and what he was revered as from the time he was in high school to the time he took a Big Ten team to the Final Four, to where he was drafted, to what he did while in the league. Kendall Gill is as official as it gets and has all the stories that go along with that handsome face and being a millionaire. So it has been a treasure to kind of nurture this relationship over the last, you know, 9-10 months or so with KG.
What did you find yourself feeling as you were watching The Last Dance?
Value, like how things are valued and how things are perceived and how, you know, I value things. There's a lot of moments where it's like, couldn't be me, right? But what do you value winning at? And what do you value people's respect at? What do you value? Like, these things, like, they're not sliders on a video game where you can just set it all to 100 and be the perfect player, right? Certain things have to come back. You know, there's some compensations you have to make in terms of what's important to you. And when I hear fans and observers all alike talking about this documentary, you kind of find out, like, a personal sports is the greatest, you know, personal human study that you could probably do in terms of everybody being involved in it and everything, you know, like making people feel differently. I think that anytime I hear about anybody talking about the Last Dance documentary, I'm finding out a lot about that person more so than the documentary. Like, we knew what was coming in the documentary. Like, there's some holes that were filled in, no doubt about it. There's like, everybody's got that list of like 6 or 7 or 8 things that they're like, oh my God, I had no clue about that. Now, that list differs and varies in terms of the kind of, you know, intel that you've had or the kind of fan that you've been over the years. But I find that it's fascinating how we can find out what a person values, what a person's been through, what a person thinks they can go through, and how they project that onto their feelings on the Last Dance documentary. So for me, it's been finding out like what I value, like what I could have dealt with or think I could have dealt with, what I know I couldn't have dealt with, some of the things that I was yearning more for. And we got it in the last episode with the Scotty Get Back is what I call it. You know, just some things that I knew were going to happen and some things that I had no clue that we were going to find out about. And, you know, there's still some urban legends out there, some myths out there that are going to always be around, because those questions are going to come when somebody has to give you the okay for a documentary. So all kinds of feelings all over the place, man. But it's definitely the value of winning and the value of people's respect and admiration and all those things, and how they are thrown into one pot, and you get Michael Jordan and you get that documentary.
Jason Goff of NBC Sports Chicago joining me. You can also hear Jay every morning on Sirius XM channel 372 with our buddy Anthony Heron.
Like, Lawrence, for real, because the issues that people had at the end, especially to this day, about this team should have been able to win 8 championships in a row and all this other stuff. Like, the value of winning for Scottie Pippen is a little different than the value of winning for Michael Jordan at that point in his life financially. You know, all this talk about Scottie would have signed a year for $7 million and all this other stuff or whatever the case may be. Nah, wasn't happening, Captain. And on top of it, I don't care what Scottie says now, because going back on it, you know, there's some pressure kind of sways you at times. I couldn't believe he said with the sitting out that he would do it again. But
me
in
neither.
This instance, I don't think that Scottie would have valued the $67 million below going for a 7th championship. Like, the value of winning. You know, Jerry Reinsdorf has people to answer to as well. So when you got 6 in the cupboard and you may not be chasing, or you may not reach that 7th, and it's time for people to start figuring out, all right, we've been putting a lot in here money-wise and we've been getting a lot, but those dividends could be bigger. Like, all those things go into it. So that's why I say value in terms of how much you valued winning. Michael Jordan had everything at that point. He valued winning above everything else. A lot of people didn't have everything, or what they deem valuable or deem everything. So those people made those decisions. Like Phil Jackson, Thelma and Louise that thing off the cliff and then jumped out the car. Like, like, let's keep it a buck. Phil Jackson said, this is the last time we're going to do this together. Got his team all, you know, bunker mentality. Everybody sitting in the cut. We're going to fight against front office, fight against Karl Malone and the Jazz, fight against anybody who want a piece of this. Game 7 against the Pacers. We're going to do this thing and ride off into the sunset. And just before that joint hit the cliff, he jumped out and got a one-way ticket to Los Angeles a year later. Like, these are the things that, you know, the documentary can place it in front of you. You don't have to eat all of it, and you don't have to enjoy all of it. But it's just it was resounding to me over and over again. What is the value of winning for each person in this little formula? Like, this,
and where
equation,
are you at on your timeline too?
Right.
Because I think that matters. Where if you're Scotty and you're going, I'm never going to get another chance at,
man,
getting a contract this big again. Like, I don't want to hear about, well, we could just talk Scotty into signing a one-year deal. No. Like, the lessons that he had learned throughout that entire thing was, okay, I did my sacrificing. I sacrificed my own game. I sacrificed, in some ways, my reputation. And now I have this chance to make the big dough that I gave up earlier in my career. I've done a lot of winning, so why not have this other thing too with the chance to win? Like, exactly. It wasn't like he wasn't going to go out there and try to win, but why can't I have all the stuff, or at least make a run at trying to get all of the stuff?
Everybody's circumstances are different. So when fans look at things with this big umbrella of Chicago Bulls represent the city, you know, get another championship, this thing could have, you could have run it back. Them dudes were spent on top of it. Michael Jordan damn near cut his finger in half with a cigar cutter. We were talking to Randy Brown yesterday. They thought he might have nerve damage. Michael Jordan sits out the first 2 months of a lockout season. You willing to tell me after what you saw against the Utah Jazz that everything would have been hunky-dory? They went to Game 7 against those Indiana Pacers for a reason. Like, these are things that when we look back on it, we go, oh, these were great times. Yeah, they were great times, but they were tough. There were some tough times for those dudes. I didn't realize it as a kid because I'm 17 years old. I'm just enjoying the fact that every summer I knew that those dudes would keep me company well into June. You know, I graduated on the day of the shot, right? When everybody's hanging out at people's houses, I'm in the crib watching the Bulls in the dynasty. So, you know, we value things differently. And I know, you know, a lot of times nuance doesn't show itself in the barbershops and in conversations that you want to just get in and out of. But if we're doing long form content and all these other things, I feel like we're being intellectually dishonest if we can't see where people are coming from that we supposedly vehemently disagree with. Like the Scottie Pippen thing, like to me, that's one of the things that I take away from this. And I've been vocal about it on social media. The Scottie Pippen shade is hilarious to me. All these dudes and girls sitting around talking about Scottie Pippen in this way of, he was cool, but he did this and he did that and he did. No, Scottie Pippen was more than cool. Scottie Pippen, to me, and this is nobody else's opinion but my own, as a kid watching basketball, Scottie Pippen was just as beautiful an athlete to me, to watch as Michael Jordan was.
I knew
Mike was the god. But Scottie Pippen was, dude, that dude was an angel. Like, that dude played a style of basketball that so many people tried to mimic after it. Now, we don't say who's the next Scottie Pippen, but you damn well better believe that the Grant Hills of the world and all these cats, you know, the Jason Kidds of the world, they saw Scottie Pippen not only do it on the break, do it with the bank shot, do it as a scorer when needed, right? Like, don't forget, you know, Market Square Arena, both of them scoring 40. Like, these are the things that I just sit back and I think to myself, so y'all going to sit here and talk about Scottie because of a lapse in judgment. No doubt about it. A bad moment. A couple of bad moments. And the no tipping, pipping thing. Like, these things are cute and funny and cliche to say. But in the end, how much of a Bulls fan are you if you can't appreciate the second greatest player in your franchise's history?
I'm with you on that. I am. But you know me. Like, I'm a Scottie stan. So... What you said, I think, makes a lot of sense. Like, the artistry and the beauty of Pippen's game.
Man.
I was explaining it to a friend of mine yesterday. We were talking about it on his podcast, that you got to understand that this guy, once he had figured some things out on the basketball court,
it was a wrap.
You talk about a guy that could guard 1 through 4 on the floor,
and
guy that could run point for you if you needed to, that could score if you needed to. He was a Swiss Army knife. And on top of that, the long arms, the strides that he took in the open floor, the way that he would get up on dunks, like, that guy.
He was beautiful.
Graceful.
To watch,
I actually really liked it. I thought Jordan was more power and Pippen was more grace.
Yeah.
If that's a way to distinguish the two guys.
I mean, their frames were different. Right, one guy was way longer. One guy had that gazelle-like feel to him. Another one had the feeling of like a stalking kind of cat. You know what I mean? And we were very, very blessed to get a chance to watch those careers, that franchise, that team, and have that kind of vibe that never left. Even for people who weren't basketball fans, like, it takes a lot for a person to not be a fan of a sport and be drawn to a sport because of a team or because of a player. So all those things are being celebrated, and I appreciated it. And, you know, we stuck our chests out for 5 weeks on social media, which was fun as well. And people were, and you know what I like, man? The fact that guys like Judd Bushler and Will Perdue and B.J. Armstrong and Bill Winnington and all these dudes get respect, and Steve Kerr and credit, because, and John Paxson too. Let me tell you something, man.
Yep.
John Paxson, everything that John Paxson was as a player was to be respected and commended. I everything that I saw of him as a kid and growing up watching him, and I used to think about, like, man, and he's got a brother on top of it that plays in the league. Like, I used to think the Paxson brothers was cold. So these are the things that you know, we take that trip through this, like, this nostalgia, like, world, like this playground of, man, this is what we got a chance to live. Not a lot of cities can say that they experienced something like that. So some of the things that I took away.